I'm Jason Aponte, that's Steph Sanchez. This is the Bully Ball Podcast on the Gold Standard Podcast Network, the only 49ers podcast that is not listed on the PUP list to start training camp. Steph, what's going on?
Nothing much. I was in the Bay this past weekend, and not for training camp, though. It was probably the first year in a while that I haven't gone for camp, but I did the half marathon in San Francisco on Sunday, so that was fun. Ran the bridge. It was awesome, so... Yeah, I'm an athlete. Like, yeah. They should sign me to the 49ers.
Well, the 49ers are going to need edge help soon, so it's good. Yeah. I'm happy to hear that, Steph. Any sort of athletic training that requires you to run a marathon, that's good stuff right there. So, you know, again, you know, taking care of the body, taking care of the mind is what's important. So, all right, Steph, no more burying the lead. Kyle Shanahan got into a car accident, was pretty grisly in terms of his injuries and everything, but... certain people won't let anything go and believe that there's some sort of mass conspiracy theory and cover-up. And today, Kyle Shanahan called in all of the beat writers and held a meeting with them. And it almost felt like, get in here, you're all in trouble. But really, Kyle Shanahan wanted to set some things straight. So let's take a look at this. Kyle Shanahan, if for our audio listeners... if I'm going to read off what you see on the screen on YouTube, Shanahan's account of the accident. One, he was at fault. So a lot of speculation on whether he was at fault. Unfortunately, we've all made mistakes while driving. I'm very certain that 95, 99% of the people that drive cars have looked at their cell phone while driving or, you know, picked it up in any way. Apparently, his fell in between seats. And instead of waiting until it was clear by getting to a stop sign or a red light, he tried to reach for it. Went 20 miles an hour and runs into the other lane and runs into the poor young lady who he got into the accident with. And he said he swerved while looking for his cell phone between the seats, going 20 miles an hour, never lost consciousness and remembers the accident. Said he got hit with the airbag so hard that that's something he'll never forget. Still bothered by loud sounds like music and people talking at once, more than one. So again, that's why if you see him out there, it's during... where one, you can't take any pictures, and two, there's no music playing, so that's why he's out there during those times. And the last but not least, and this is the best part, he's made progress and expects a full recovery. Steph, what is your immediate reaction of Kyle Shanahan giving the details of this accident and clarifying some things?
Yeah, obviously it was a scary situation, and you know, all of us seeing that news, it was very shocking. Just glad he's okay, you know. I mean, the fact that he's able to walk and he's alive, it seemed like it was very serious. And no, also what he had to say today, just coming out, clearing the record and owning up to his fault here with the accident, I think spoke volumes. Obviously there was a lot of reporting happening based on the public records that were available, and him coming out and, you know, just saying it was his fault, I think just showed a lot. So yeah, credit to Kyle. Glad he's okay. I'm happy he's in the building in some capacity and that he's made some progress, you know, even if it's a little bit to this point. But it sounds like, yeah, the concussion symptoms are still going to be with him for a bit longer. We remember Nick Martin, you know, dealing with his concussion symptoms for much of last season, it felt like, and no two concussions are the same, but obviously hoping for the best for Kyle and a speedy recovery as he gets back.
And I think this is important for him, you know, to note, right? Because for me, this is probably the last time we're going to discuss this accident, unless there's anything more in terms of his recovery. The details are out. That's it. It's done. And to the people that wanted to make this more than it was, your digging around forced Kyle Shanahan's hand to speak and clarify these things, because you were a hair's worth away from getting this young lady's name and then having it publicized. And that's the part that's the scariest, is Kyle didn't want that to happen because, and not all 49er fans, don't yell at me, but there would be 49er fans that would find out this woman's name, send her a bunch of nonsense and blame her for it, you know, like... protecting the people in this, which is why I never understood why people were so adamant that I need all the details. No, you don't. You don't need all the details, because this poor young woman was on the cusp of being doxxed. And being yelled at by a bunch of tribalistic 49ers fans for what happened with the coach, Kyle felt the need, like he had to stand up and say something because he didn't want that to happen and he wanted to set it straight. So for me, Steph, I'm glad that this is done. I'm glad that this is out there. I'm glad now that if anybody who was looking to blame Kyle Shanahan can because he was at fault, that's fine. But as long as there's no drugs or alcohol or anything like that involved, wish a speedy recovery to Kyle. And, you know, hopefully that young lady who was involved in the accident doesn't have any lingering effects a la PTSD or anything like that going on. It's a scary situation. Both of them walked away with their lives. You can't ask for anything more than that. And now we 100% understand what happened. I'm good with this. And I feel that this is a dead subject, but I don't think that it will be dead as long as this continues to go on, Steph, with conspiracy theories and people who just don't want to accept what the facts are at this point.
That's 49er fans at all times, it seems. And I don't want to say it's everyone because it really isn't. But, you know, there's always going to be the few, that always hate on Kyle Shanahan, want to see him fired, or, you know, they think he's at fault for everything all the time, or that there's something deeper happening, what's wrong with him. That's going to continue. And, you know, honestly, we got football to talk about now, so that should be our focus going forward. The facts are out, as Jay said, so that's what we're going to talk about going forward in this podcast as well. But glad that Kyle's okay. Glad that he's in the building. Glad that even for a bit of practice, he could step onto the field and be out there. That's certainly a great sign, but glad that everything turned out well in the grand scheme of things.
For sure. And 49ers football is back. And we do have information on training camp battles, even if it is just two open practices, mind you, without pads as well, too. We want to make sure that we say that because there is, you know, I sent out a tweet joking around about Dejon Stribling. Like, I've seen enough. He's already better than Jerry Rice. Look, until the pads go on, we're not going to figure out anything about these. But it is interesting to note a few things. There are three position battles on this team that we're trying to figure out. No, I don't buy the Jack Jones and Renardo Green secondary battle. I don't. It's fine that he's there and they have somebody who's reliable in case Renardo can't go. But Renardo Green's going to start. I'm talking about safety. I'm talking about Sam linebacker, and I'm talking about left guard. So those three spots have someone in, well, four spots if you put safety because it's two and left guard and Sam. So four spots, three of them seem to have the same people in on these same days. And I'm talking about Jaya Brown at one for safety, Nick Martin as Sam linebacker, and Connor Colby at left guard. And Siegel and Mustafa are the ones that are flipping day to day on the other side. Steph, it's 2 days, but this is pretty good information on who the 49ers want to give the first crack at this, right?
Yeah, and I think I'm glad that we're starting with the safety and left guard talk because I do think there's a bit of a theme with both of those, right? 49ers are always going to favor either someone who's a veteran or someone who already has experience in the system, right? In Jaya Brown's case, it's bit of both. Like he does have more years on Siegel and Mustafa. It is a new system as far as what Raheem Morris is going to be running. But because you have two starting positions, three guys basically battling, it seems like Jaya Brown has the lock right now to be the favorite to be one of those starters. Yeah. And so really it's between Siegel and Mustafa. The other one, Connor Colby, getting the starting opportunities at left guard, this is kind of even more of a theme we see with the offensive linemen. And I don't want people freaking out because I've already seen Connor Colby at left guard and, you know, groaning at it and all that.
Freaking
I just want to say,
no way.
No way. On the first day of camp? What?
Overreacting before we get to pads, Steph, think of another fan base because that's not the point.
Never. Okay, well, the thing with Connor Colby that I want people to remember, and this just happens every year, so remember this for next year as well, because we'll probably have a similar discussion, is that, for one, you should want Connor Colby to do well. And if he's getting starting reps, hopefully it's because he's the better guy at the job right now. Now, I'll also say this. This early into training camp, you don't always have a pulse on who's the better guy. But you are going to have guys like Connor Colby who have experience as a second year now. He did have some, you know, experience starting last year. So I think that's where he gets the head over the competition this early into training camp. So that's not to say that Connor Colby is the runaway favorite after 2 days of practice to be the starting left guard. That's also not to say that he might not end up being the best guy for that job. And we should all want that if he does end up being that guy, not just because of what we know he did last year, didn't do last year when he was a rookie, right? So I think we just have to, you know, be aware that it's a second year and he could have made some leaps. We hope for that. We hope that guys show growth from 1 year to the next. And hopefully Connor Colby is one of those guys. But I do want to just add that 49ers early on in camp favor experience. So that's probably why we're seeing these names being the favorites right now.
Yeah. And honestly, the idea of Connor Colby and Chris Forrester alluded to this and said it in the press conferences. Yeah, he's the incumbent. He's somebody who's been here. When you're first starting out and you're doing the install period, why not start with the guy who's been here? And why not start with the guy that you want to work? Because remember, they want Connor Colby to work. They identified him and they brought him in. Robert Jones is somebody who is a veteran. And by the way, Chris Forrester said that it's not done with Jones. Like, it's those two that are going for it, which again, we figured it was going to be one of the two. But giving Connor Colby the first amount of reps, to Steph's point, doesn't mean that it's over, but it is a good look at what their thought process is, which is, hey, you've been here. You actually grasped the playbook. Let's see what you've got with another year under your belt. And that's probably the right way to go about it. I think there's a baseline to Robert Jones and everything, although he is recovering from a broken neck, which is super. There's a baseline to him, which you understand. The 49ers getting something out of Connor Colby, Nick Martin, who they drafted, and then your safety battle with three guys, Jair Brown, Malik Mustafa, Marcus Siegel, all of those guys were drafted or brought in by the team. They want those guys to work. Being able to, like, talk about the reason the 49ers are in this spot with an aging core, it's because the draft picks haven't been guys who have been over and over consistently contributors. Now, you have a chance to get a starting left guard out of it that you brought in, your starting third linebacker as Sam, and both of your starting safeties will be draft picks. This would be a huge win for the 49ers if that's the way that this shakes out because of them getting contributions from guys that they brought in, Steph.
More 49ers Gold Standard podcast after this.
And it sounds like for Brown, like he already has an interception in camp. You know, maybe this is the year it all clicks for him. As far as Nick Martin, I think the fact that, you know, they moved on from D Winters tells you a lot about how they feel about Nick Martin. Even with having missed time last year, they certainly feel like they saw enough. Otherwise, I don't think you make that move. So yeah, Nick Martin seems to be trending in the right direction to be getting that Sam spot. Again, left guard to me is the one where I wouldn't call that one a lock out of these three position battles. But it would certainly be a great thing if any of these guys that we mentioned do get more time. So Jay, there are a number of injuries that we're tracking.
Well, yeah. Real quick. I just want one more thing real quick too, about the safeties. And I saw Gojira says not holding out hopes for a seventh round pick. Colton McKibbitz was undrafted or was in the sixth round. Like it doesn't matter. Robert Jones was undrafted and he's the guy that's going to be like draft pick. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because there's plenty of first rounders that are trash. Hello, Kingsley Suyamaida. Like, you know, like that draft pick thing is just so strange to me. It's just, if a guy's good, then a guy's good. Who cares where he was drafted, right? You know, like, are you going to keep saying that about Brock Purdy? Like, not holding out hope for the last pick of the draft, like, you know? But what I was going to say about the safety position, what I think is interesting is, yeah, it does seem like Jair Brown has one spot. But Siegel feels like more of a free safety. So does Raheem Morris prefer two free safeties as opposed to a free safety and a box safety in Malik Mustafa, right? Like, so first day, it's Marcus Siegel who starts with Marquis Siegel, my goodness, who starts with Jair Brown. Then the next day, it's Mustafa and then Siegel. So those guys are going to rotate. But I just wonder if maybe Raheem Morris covets the idea of two guys that will roam a little bit more freely as opposed to the guys who have to be straight downhill, like, you know, like type players. So that's really interesting when it comes to that. And then, like, you were, well, like, and what you were about to say. So go ahead. I just wanted to make sure we got in there as well, too. And the injuries have to be well, too, which is why I don't want Deebo Samuel. All right. Well, we've already got an injury in the wide receiver room. Again, if all we ever say about this wide receiver room is, man, watch out if they're healthy, and they're not healthy, and we're talking about Christian Kirk right now, who's not healthy, that's my point. It's less about Deebo Samuel being some sort of savior as opposed to what the hell do we know about this receiver core after Dejon Stribling, because it's Pearsall, Evans, and Stribling, and then a whole bunch of question marks, right?
Yeah, and, you know, that's always kind of the situation, especially in camp, it feels like, for the 49ers receiving core, is that there are going to be one guy, sometimes multiple guys, missing in action. But what I really want to talk about in terms of, like, the injuries is the opportunities that in camp it presents for other guys that are a little bit further in the depth chart. In this case, you have younger players like Stribling who are getting an opportunity to get more first team reps, even working with second team as well. You know, Purdy's already singing his praises. He notes his detail. And one thing we always talk about, we kind of have a gripe with this, right? Is it because Kyle Shanahan's too hard and he wants his rookies to be perfect, right? Rookies always have a hard time getting on the field because they have a hard time with the playbook, because they have a hard time perfecting their details on routes, where they're supposed to line up, all these things. Kyle Shanahan is a perfectionist when it comes to these details so far. And we got to also say that it's very early in training camp, right? But so far, that feels like a good sign that we're hearing these things, right? That he has really good attention to detail, that it seems like he's grasping the playbook and where he's supposed to be and all these things this early into camp, right? We'll see when the pads come on. We'll see as camp progresses and all that. And we'll also see when Shanahan, you know, maybe comes back. Maybe he has some things that he would correct on the fly that maybe they're not seeing. But Stribling so far, it seems like he's making the most of the opportunities that he's getting with Christian Kirk out. The other guy would be Romello Height, who's also getting more opportunities with Mykel Williams on the PUP list. Nick Bosa right now, not in on team periods. So I'm liking the opportunities that some of these guys have. And not just that, but what you're hearing about these guys and what they're doing with those opportunities feels to be very promising.
Yeah, and even if Kirk was there, it really feels like the 49ers are pushing Stribling to be in that number three role. And we talked about it all offseason. And again, I can't post film breakdowns because they get demonetized on here. And I'm tired of doing all the work and getting none of the money or anything like that from it and having my videos blacklisted. But when I talked about what Dejon Stribling is going to be able to offer day one, it's a super hyped up Juwan Jennings role where Juwan Jennings is getting himself open based on play design, understanding when to break his routes. That's why you ever understand why a guy who can't create separation is running wide open, Kyle Shanahan. And while we wait for the rest of Dejon Stribling's role and his skill set to come together, right now he has that role, and he's going to be fine in that role. A guy with a big catch radius, a lot more speed, who's not afraid to go over the middle. That's the role he'll be in while we wait for him to develop as a wide receiver. So, yeah, the 49ers, it's Evans, Pearsall, and Stribling. After that, who the hell knows? DeMarcus Robinson and Jacob Cowing, and is Jordan Watkins even alive? Like, we don't know after that, right? Christian Kirk is already hurt. Right. So you've got three guys that you can set your watch to right now that are going to be there. And I know we're telling people to not jump out of the window after 2 days. I am. It's going to be Evans, Pearsall, and Stribling. That's it. No one's taking Stribling's spot unless there's something bad that happens. Knock on wood. But as of right now, Stribling has a role and is stepping into that Juwan Jennings role while they wait for his skill set to come together. So having a guy like that who'll be in on crucial downs, has a high catch radius and everything, that's exactly where he'll be able to flourish, see the ball go through the hoop for a little while he waits for all of the other things from the NFL to come to him as far as speed, knowing what coverages are in front of you, all of the stuff that you're going to have to learn with experience. But he does have a role right away. So the 49ers are going to have to make a choice after the 1-2-3, but that's your 1-2-3.
More 49ers Gold Standard podcast after this.
Romello Height, I'm glad you brought it up because we all had a pass out moment yesterday when you hear Romelu Hite got carted off. I myself fell to my knees in a Target and couldn't believe it. But we found out it was cramps. Steph, what was your initial reaction to finding out cart? Even though right away we kind of found out that it wasn't as bad as we thought.
Well, my initial thought right then when you said that you were at Target was, did you get a haircut? Because that, as far as I know, that's the only time you step foot into a Target, because that's where you're scouted.
Haircuts are expensive, Steph. I chopped my hair off. I'm good. I can wait a little while. I was in Target just based on, you know, the needing for groceries. But go ahead.
So the Romelu Hite thing, because I was out of town this weekend, I didn't actually see the live report that he got carted off. Otherwise, I would have been freaked out. And that happens, though, in camp where some guys get cramps, or, you know, sometimes it's initially reported that a guy is getting carted off. It seems way more serious. And then you later find out, oh, okay, it was just, you know, XYZ. But in this case, we're very happy to hear that Romelu Hite is okay and it was just cramps, especially because we're hearing so many great things about him, getting praise from Nick Bosa. Everyone's talking about the explosiveness that he has. And with the depth right now, for the Dodgers are dealing with at the edge position, you need Romelu Hite. You want him to do well. And so you need the health of him and whoever else they have available. Part of the reason why they're bringing in pass rushers already, some camp bodies, right? Because guys are getting hurt. But it's great news for Romelu Hite. I'm loving what I'm hearing about some of these rookies so far. We talked about Stribling, Romelu Hite, Kalen Black's another one. You know, it sounds like he might be putting some pressure on Jordan James. Uncertain if Jordan James is dealing with an injury. Sound like he didn't finish the practice in the last one, but hearing great things about Kalen Black and his explosiveness, his decisiveness. And because him and Jordan James' skill set kind of overlap, or at least like there's some overlap in what they bring to the table. Obviously, Kalen Black is the more talented running back. I think Kalen Black has an opportunity to take over that number two spot. So that'll be interesting to track as training camp goes forward. It's a great sign that this early you're seeing Kalen Black get all this praise, but that's another position where you kind of want to wait to see when the pads come on. And even then, it's really hard to evaluate running backs in these camp practices, maybe more so than any other position, just because like there isn't true tackling, right? And guys are going to keep running. So anyway, Kalen Black, it sounds good. Stribling sounds good. Romelu Hite, glad you're healthy. Also sounds great. Do you have anything to say about Kalen Black? Because I know he's one of your Hoosier guys.
Yeah, I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked that Kalen Black is doing well. Come on, guys. You got to learn ball and you got to watch the Indiana Hoosiers. You would have known right off the bat. You would have never been worried at all. I was never worried. What I will say is this, Steph. It's good to hear that Jordan James is doing well. And then, you know, obviously we're going to find out the extent of this injury that kept him out. If it's an injury, we don't know that for certain. And I don't want to start. I believe in the power of manifesting, and the power of the tongue is very, very strong. So I don't want to put that out there. But he didn't finish the session. So obviously one would have to surmise that it's either injury related or something else. Hopefully it's something else and it's nothing serious. But it's hard for me to get jazzed about this RB2 spot, Steph, because Christian McCaffrey still just—he's just out there training him, and they're like, "Yeah, they're giving him the bulk of, they're giving him the bulk of everything." And it's like, look, I don't need camp reports to know that Kalen Black is a good football player. I also don't need camp reports to hype me up to the point that I know that neither of these guys are going to see the field unless something happens to Christian McCaffrey. And another thing about the Deebo Samuel thing is, Deebo Samuel can be brought in and can be used as Christian McCaffrey while Christian McCaffrey gets, a breather, and they can still use their same sort of play calling, throw passes to him, you know, keep pressure on the defense. So that's the last I'll say about Deebo Samuel. But, you know, again, there is a role for him. He doesn't have to be strictly a wide receiver. I think at this point in his career, choosing your spots with him and using him as a mismatch is probably the best way to maximize what he has left. And also, you know, kind of, hey, you're only going to be out there for these certain amount of plays, pop. But either way, it's just hard, Steph, for me to get behind any sort of running back two excitement, knowing that there's no reason that these guys are ever going to see the field unless something horrible happens to Christian McCaffrey. But it is good to hear both of those things about those two guys.
And that's totally fair. Do you feel, though, that there's a world that Kalen Black could be so good, so impressive, that he might just be deserving of getting more snaps in the regular season? And we do actually end up seeing that. Not to say that, you know, he'll steal reps from Christian McCaffrey, because I feel like he'll always be on the field. But there are some ways you could potentially get both of them on the field. I know we've talked about that in the past, the possibility of a 1A, 1B. We talked about it with Brian Robinson, who the 49ers traded for last season. We thought for sure, okay, that means maybe finally we'll see more of a split. Did not happen. And we saw Christian McCaffrey get like most usage that he's had with the 49ers. But I feel like if Kalen Black is good enough, he might be hard to keep off the field. And again, it's early, right? But I'm saying if it just keeps going in this trajectory.
Yeah. And again, far less talented football players have been successful under Kyle Shanahan running the football. And, you know, Elijah Mitchell and Jordan Mason and Matt Breida, right? Like you can get these guys who can produce in this system. These guys aren't those guys. Jordan James and Kalen Black, they're not them. I think they're far superior to those players in almost every way. The problem is that everybody's still upset about the draft spot. I don't care anymore. It's done. He's in the building. He needs to produce now. That whole reach stuff, that's over with. Like, it's done. Like, he's on the roster right now. So that's it. Go ahead.
But see, that's what we've been saying, is that we don't care and we do forget about where someone was drafted. If they produce, you are not putting in a player in a position to be able to do that unless he gets on the field. So like, I feel like they would be doing themselves and Kalen Black a favor to get him some reps in the regular season. But again, he has to prove himself to be able to have earned that. And that's kind of a side topic in itself. But you know, I have a gripe with that.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's like there's this balance of like, hey, you've got to shield Christian McCaffrey from himself, but you can't play scared and you can't coach scared of an injury, right? You know, it's a tough line to walk, right? It's a very tough line to walk, because if you start to worry about that, and again, I believe in manifesting, I believe in saying things out loud, I believe in the power of your mind, and you kind of attract what you've been dreading, right? Like if you continue with that, right? And you can't really go into a season like that. Having said that, it still would be advantageous of the 49ers to try to give him a little bit more grace and not force that sort of workload on him. Look, if he gets through the season again and the 49ers are throwing 400 touches at him, then God willing, and we'll sit there and we'll say, man, this guy's a freak, and he's doing things that, you know, his body shouldn't be doing. But it still might behoove them to move to a little bit more of trying to figure out what they have with those guys, as long as they can be trusted pass pro, as long as they can be trusted with the little minor details that Kyle Shanahan kind of, you know, wrings his hands over. One thing that I wanted to bring up, Steph, and I thought this is probably the most intriguing thing that I feel like is just being treated as a bit of a gimmick and a bit of a, well, whatever, it's only 2 days. Steph, the 49ers have been very vocal about Raheem Morris showing five-man fronts, and Trent Williams talked about it. Brock Purdy talked about it. Raheem Morris talked about it. And they're talking about it like it's not some sort of gimmick. This is going to be something that they're going to implement and use more and more. Steph, we were wondering what the effect of Raheem Morris on his defense was going to be. Is it going to be just particularly in the secondary? Is he going to blitz more? But this five-man front idea, my God, it's got me wanting to trade for Vita Vea so badly, because I'm just dreaming of Vita Vea, Mykal Williams, Osa Bosa, and Collins or West. My God, like that, like pause. It's a lot of man meat in the middle. So like you won't be able to run the football.
It's crazy. No, you really wouldn't be able to. And you know, we were wondering with the hiring of Raheem Morris, was he going to be the kind of DC who was going to be able to have the liberty to add new wrinkles, because they've kind of been fixed on having the same kind of front and doing the same things they've always done with maybe small wrinkles here and there. But we wondered, was Raheem Morris going to be able to have more reins over this defense and what they were going to be able to do. So it feels like the five-man fronts is definitely the Raheem Morris influence, and I like it. I think that's one of the many little wrinkles that we'll see with this defense, and I think it's especially necessary when you look at, especially right now, with Nick Bosa, Mykel Williams not being fully out there yet, Mykel Williams on PUP, Nick Bosa still not in team periods. I think that you kind of need to lean on that inside. And you have big bodies on that inside already. You've invested to that position heavily with your defensive tackles. And you could, you know, take a bite out of the Vita Vea cake, right? Pause on that one. But that one was crazy. But, I mean, look. We're saying some crazy stuff tonight.
That was crazy.
I didn't even know where that one was going when it left my
dead ass gang. Like, that one is crazy.
That one was. Rob, please don't use that. Rob. Don't anyone cut that one up. My face is
Rob, use it, but use it for the blooper reel at the end of the year. That one was too good.
Man. Okay, so yeah, Vita Vea, it makes too much sense, right?
Yeah.
Especially with the five-man front thing that we keep hearing. That obviously puts you with three defensive tackles on the field. He's a monster of a man. Milpitas native. Reports are that he wants to go to a California team or the Raiders. That kind of feels like a no-brainer to me. Like, Raiders or, you know, Niners, Rams, or Chargers? I don't know. But the one caveat there, he doesn't have a no-trade clause. So the Bucs don't care about where he wants to go, or they don't have to care about where he wants to go. Another thing is that they don't have to honor this request, right? They don't have to trade him if they don't want to. But if they do, if they want to, he's on the final year of his deal. He is scheduled to make $17 million in 2026. That ranks 19th among defensive tackles. That sounds like a great deal to me. And when you're seeing teams in the NFC West, we see what the Rams are doing, team that has gotten better as far as their defensive line goes, or bringing back Aaron Donald, whoop-de-whoop. But that's just a team you don't want going out there and getting Vita Vea. The 49ers should be all over this if there is any chance that the Bucs are looking to move him. Another thing that I like, he's healthy. Like last year, he played all 17 games and he had 4.5 sacks. So yes, he's 31 years old. But still a guy who can contribute, because the argument that I've seen against Vita Vea coming to the Niners is that, oh, why do you want to get older? Like, we're already so old. Vita Vea is f***ing good, and so is Mike Evans. And if
leap it out, Rob.
Leap it out, Rob. But that's what I'm saying. Like, if a guy is still that guy, who cares how old he is? You bring him in and you make it happen, just like they did with Mike Evans. Former teammates. I mean, I don't know, Jay. This feels like a good connection.
Yeah, and there's rumors floating around what they want, a second and a fifth. I think the hard part about this is giving away valuable draft capital to, like, the lottery draft that's next year, where there's going to be so many good players, and that's why so many people were just stockpiling picks and trying to keep, you know, their picks for this year that's coming up. Second and a fifth, that's fine. But he also is looking for a new contract, which is in the range of $18 to $20 million per year. Look, the 49ers have $71 million worth of cap space today. We don't know what that means for next year. There's a site that'll tell you that they're 30 under, they're 30 over. There's a site that says they have no idea, because we don't know what the actual cap number is going to be next year, because it is set to increase again, because the NFL makes money hand over fist, and they're going to continue to have that. So the 49ers have to kind of gauge it this way. Yes, we want to take some of this money because Nick Bosa's contract becomes very, very hefty next season as far as the cap number. We want to roll some of this over. But at the same time, Steph, bringing in a proven guy who is going to – this is a needle mover. This isn't, you know, hey, we're trying to get a guy and see what we've got. It's Vita Vea. And look, if I'm John Lynch, I'm all over it. Steph, unfortunately, not to be the guy who's negative or anything like that, I don't think the 49ers are going to be in on this in any way. And that's their right.
Why, though? Like,
we're going to keep asking why over and over, because we're never going to get an answer. But it's just, for me, I just think that they're weary about giving him money, about his age, and parting with the draft capital, as opposed to like, hey man, you can worry about your salary cap next season. That's what you have those guys, those nerds with the calculators for, so you can rework deals around and all that stuff. What are you doing today? And this isn't keeping up with the Joneses, where it's like, oh, the Rams got this guy, well, we're going to counteract with this guy. This is about improving your football team. And guys of this ilk, of this caliber, do not become available early before training camp really gets into the throes of it. One other thing, Vita Vea is just using this as a way to try and leverage a new contract. Because I guarantee you, if the Bucks come and meet him tomorrow and they're like, all right, man, you got us, here's your contract, all that goes out the window. So it's hard to gauge, but if I'm John Lynch, I'm all over it. I would be all over it, and I would be calling them and asking them what they want. Are they interested in a lightly used Brandon Ayuk and a fifth round pick? That could be really good for them. But yeah, I'd love that. I see the 49ers saying, we did our due diligence, we kicked the tires, and we just couldn't make it work. That's that, like, literally those three statements I feel will come if somebody's asked, if something else happens.
More 49ers Gold Standard podcast after this. Now, without further commercial interruption, the conclusion of this episode of the 49ers Gold Standard podcast.
I could see that happening. I just wish that this would be the type of move that they would make. Alfred Collins on the PUP list, Grayson Holton just got hurt. You just signed Kevin Givens again. Like, I mean, you need some help at this position. Kevin Givens is not going to be the answer. Why not just get someone who's a bona fide star at the position, right? And pair him along with Osa and, you know, either Alfred Collins or CJ West. That's monstrous. All right, we got Kevin Givens season loading for what feels like the eighth time in a row.
You'll never get me saying anything bad about Kevin Givens. Kevin Givens, Newark, New Jersey legend. Newark, New Jersey legend. He's from the trenches. So yeah, I you'll never get me to say anything bad about Kevin Givens.
He's like the new Dante Johnson, right? Like, that's what.
Correct. And Evan Anderson, don't stray too far. Don't get away too far. Like, you know, like you'll get called right back, dude. Like, yeah, it's a wink, wink. Like, all right, go out the side door, but we're gonna open up the trap door to get you in here. So yeah, you know, again, look. Right now, the 49ers need defensive linemen to run drills. They need camp bodies. And Alfred Collins, it sounds like, is going to be a lot closer to coming back sooner. It sounds like when the pads come on, George Kittle's been seen, you know, being out there and watching practice as well, too. Even for the guys that are on PUP, it doesn't sound like this is anything other than either taking it slow with them or more just like, I guess, what's the word? It's like they're just roster shuffling. Right. Like, and it's just their way of just having guys like come on and everything as well, too. So for me, I think it's a great thing for them to try to pursue Vita Vea stuff. I'm of the mind that no matter what 49er fans want, no matter what they think is reasonable, and even when 49er fans come up with something that isn't out of this world, like, I'm not talking about, hey, how do we trade for Josh Allen or something like that? We're talking about something that can actually work. The 49ers don't give a damn about what we think or what we want. And it almost feels like they're just like, oh, you guys want this? I don't care. We don't care. Like,
yeah.
And
they want it less because we want it more.
Right. Oh, that's what they want? Watch this. And we'll get, you know, 49ers re-sign Evan Anderson. Like, and it's just, you're just going to have to live with that. It is a little bit where it feels like that, where they just are like, whatever they want, we're going to do the opposite. But, I mean, you look at what the Rams and the Seahawks have going on. You have a prime chance right now to really make a dent in that and really, really turn this defense into a force, because Vita Vea is that good. And if you need any proof, I implore you to watch what he did to the 49ers offensive line last season, including to Connor Colby, Jake Brendel. He's throwing guys around on the floor. Yeah, he's a stud, man. And, you know, one would have to think, you know, the Tampa Bay Bucks won a Super Bowl. Right. And everyone's going to say, well, Tom Brady. Yeah, cool. Vita Vea was an absolute monster in that Super Bowl against that Chiefs offensive. Like, a monster. Like, every single play was blown up. Now, we're talking about 2020, but that's the type of player that he is. And this isn't some crazy idea. This is literally somebody who can come in and help today and can help you improve your chances right now. So I want it. Sounds like everybody else is down with it. Does John Lynch want it, Steph? And that's and does this 49ers team want it? Or are they going to tell us that they like what they have in the building?
I know what the most likely scenario is, unfortunately, Jay.
That we're...
No.
Well, here's the best case scenario. The 49ers get Vita Vea. The better best case scenario is Vita Vea stays in Tampa Bay. The absolute worst, horrible, no good way that this ends.
Don't even say it.
I don't want to say it, but you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, I do.
The absolute worst, absolute crash out thing that could happen, it's right there in front of you. It could happen. But if you even get something in the wind telling you that those guys are involved about Vita Vea, and trust me, this happens because when the 49ers were involved in getting Christian McCaffrey, it was between them and the Rams, and we can't forget the Matthew Stafford thing. If you even get a hint or something in the wind telling you that they're involved, get involved.
That's what I'm saying. That's what
get
I'm saying.
Get involved. Like, you can go to the Chargers. You can go to the Raiders. Fine. You can't go to that one place. And you can't let that happen either, because that will be gross, because they're going to bring back 99. It'll just be enough, man. Like at that point, it's just like, come on, man. But, you know, again, you can't really make moves and choose your roster building based on what other teams are doing. In this case, though, this is something that kind of tips the scales back to a 49ers team that is looking desperately to revitalize their pass rush under somebody. Vita Vea for Myles Garrett, who says no? Steph, you got it.
I mean, obviously the Rams.
All right. Here's one thing that I'll say about the Rams. You know, I'm tired of the glazing and all that stuff or whatever, but I will say this. Jared Verse is a really, really good edge player. And yet, Myles Garrett's an upgrade. So you move on because you can upgrade. Now, you could like CJ West, Alfred Collins, all you want. But if the Tampa Bay Bucks are like, we want Alfred Collins and a draft pick, don't even let them hang up the phone. Fire up the Greyhound and send them. Don't even wait. So I will give the Rams credit for this. The Rams could say, hey, we've got Jared Verse. Yeah, Myles Garrett's better, but, you know, we're fine with what we got. No, they upgraded.
Right.
You got to kind of take that mentality. Upgrade when you get a chance and you have the money to do it.
Got to be aggressive.
Yeah.
Got to strike when the iron's hot.
Yeah. All right, Steph. Well, this was a great show. It was good to have you back, even though, you know, it's getting harder and harder to deny the breakup rumors. First, the Fast Boys breakup. Now, every day I wake up, sometimes Steph's not on the show with me. So, you know, people are wondering, like, what the hell
is going on? The conspiracy theories are running rampant, you know?
Yeah. If you stop doing a show with somebody, like, once, or then you're automatically beefing. I think it's hilarious. So we're not above all that as well, too. But, Steph, training camp is here. Really excited about the camp battles and everything. Today was a jog through. Tomorrow, open media. So we'll have some more things on the timeline as well, too. I can't believe we're back. If I'm not mistaken, Steph, is this week that the Hall of Fame game is, or is it next week?
Oh, I actually don't know.
Yeah, well, we've got football on the docket.
We got football.
We got actual football to talk about. So it's a great thing. It's in life seems worth living again.
And Jay, I don't even care who's playing that game. I will be watching. Hall of Fame game, August 6th. Thanks, Rob. So we got another week.
6th. Yeah.
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 Panthers, 100%. Cardinals. I'll be seated. I will be seated.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my God. Not only will I be seated, I'm putting in wagers. I'm gonna be putting in lineups. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've been waiting. Look.
There's a number you could call, Jay.
Nah, screw that number. I'm going to call that number and be like, you nerds are never going to stop me. What the problem is this. It feels like the wait for football is forever. And then when we get football, it goes like that. So I intend to make every single moment count. Like, I find myself March 28th. Begging for a Thursday night football where the Cleveland Browns have Bailey Zappe starting against the Jets with Geno Smith. And I would absolutely kill for that during that
all
time.
All over so, it.
Yeah, you're never gonna catch me complaining about, oh man, Thursday night football. Like, oh God, I'm lock in because it happens very fast where we lose football. So
okay, one last question.
Sure.
For that game or when football's back, what's gonna be the food spread that you're gonna have? Because it has to be elite for that first game.
So the first game is against the Rams on Australia. Funny enough, Steph, even though I have three other teams that I have to cover, I'm gonna have a Sunday off where I can watch football. Incredible. with people. Like I can go to a bar and watch football with people. But I'll tell you this, I don't eat during 49ers games. Nothing.
Oh, you're that stressed.
I'm just locked in.
Yeah,
and that's why I watch the games by myself. Because I don't want anybody thinking that I'm a weirdo for not speaking to them, right? Like, all right, for instance, last year, we're playing Seattle. My father comes over, and I love spending time with my dad, and I love spending time with my family because, you know, life is short, and you need to treasure every moment. But my father, during the last drive of the game, decides that he wants to have a really, really interesting speak about God knows what, and I'm literally looking at this man like, if you don't be quiet, I don't care about that right now. So I don't want to be looked at as rude, one, for not speaking to you because I'm taking my notes and I'm very, like, deliberate with what I'm watching and everything. Two, I can't eat because my stomach is turning, like, the most time. Like, all I have is coffee. And three, I don't want anybody, like, thinking that I'm weird for not speaking. Like, I'm just locked in. Like, I need to be locked in because in order to deliver the content that I want to deliver, which is detailed, I have to be. So
yeah.
I don't watch 49ers games with anybody unless I go to the game itself.
No, I'm pretty much the same, and we'll see what game days look like for me this year. But yeah, the past few years it's been the same. I watch it by myself. Can't go anywhere. It's too much distractions. Someone's always trying to talk to you, and I can't have that. It's not even just because of the stress. It's just because I got to be writing notes and I got to know everything that's going on. But life of a content creator. We'll have fun though. In any case, if you are wondering what my spread would be,
sure,
pizza, maybe throw in some wings, you know, but definitely got to be some pizza on the table.
I'll eat after the game. Now it depends on whether I'm going to be eating with tears in my eyes, or I'm just going to be eating, you know, happy dancing and everything. But yeah, for me, it's just, I like, you know, I feel bad. And Big Brick says, LOL, Jason, I turn my phone off and my wife and I tell the kids to leave the room. Leave us alone whenever the Niners are playing. And that's how I feel. Like, I feel bad. Like, my father has great intentions, and I'm sure that what he wanted to tell me had a funny anecdote in it, something that I could have taken. Very interesting conversation. Just not now. Just what, like why right now? Like why when the 49ers are trying to drive down the field with his last drive before Jake Tom just makes the game? Like, why now? Why now? And I have a hard time explaining that to people. And then the other thing is, it's like, if I'm watching with a bunch of people, when I get hype and I get excited, I don't need people looking at me like I'm crazy. You
know? Yeah, so, yeah.
You know, or me, because I think about this. I'm loud on podcasts. Now think about the 49ers scoring a crucial touchdown. And I don't have a mic in my face, and I'm screaming, let's go, or like banging my chest or whatever. Like, I don't need to explain that to anybody. I need to be able to do that by myself.
Freely,
and then,
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, and don't get me started about watching the game with negative Nancy's. Like, I can't do
that's,
that.
Either. Well, all right, and that's one more thing. One more
and
thing.
And one more this. Thing.
And another thing. Casuals. Watching the game with people that don't know anything about, right? You know, my brother was watching the game with us, that same Seattle game. And I'm like, Seattle's defense really good. He's like, no, it's not. I'm like, well, why is it not? And he's like, they're just not. I'm like, that's not a, like,
that's I when I don't even like respond right. back. I'm just like
I don't want to get angry.
You don't even engage.
But don't piss me off. Like, why are you saying that nonsense? Right. And like, it just, and then it's like, and then I have to look at him like, who are you going to trust on this? You or me? And then eventually he just is like, all right, yeah, you got it. I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to tell you, like, yo, listen, you have your opinion. You're right to it. But that opinion is wrong. And opinions are wrong every day. So, like, that's the reason I watch all my games by myself. But if it's like the Bills and the Ravens, Oh, I'm down to poly and watch with anybody. Like, I don't really care or whatever. Like, say whatever you want. Say Lamar Jackson's trash. I ain't going to argue with you about it, even though you're wrong. But yeah, you know, like, Niners games are off limits, though. Completely off limits.
Yep. Well, Jay, we've got our watch routine on deck coming up in the next few weeks. So, and that's for everyone else who's watching and telling us how they feel about it, too, because they have some strong feelings here in the chat as well. Love to hear about it. Love to hear everyone's watch routine, what they tolerate, what they don't. That's a great way to end this show, Jay.
And yeah. Speaking of watch lists, have you gotten a chance to see The Odyssey yet?
I haven't yet. You know what I want to watch is The Invite. I do want to watch The Odyssey as well.
The Invite's a really good movie. That's one of the funniest movies I've seen in a long time. Like, comedy's dead, but that brings it back.
Love it. I want to watch both. We'll make it happen.
The Odyssey's incredible. I'm on 4 viewings, so like I'm good now.
Damn.
Well, look, Steph, if you keep your eyes to Twitter, which I know you're not on, people have been uploading like super HD crispy Odyssey copies. Like,
this is Nolan intended.
Yeah, watching it on my TV after I cast it from my MacBook. But yeah, either way, that'll do it for this episode of the Bully Ball Podcast on the Gold Standard Podcast Network. Shout out to everybody for joining. Thank you guys as well. You know, we need likes, subscriptions, notification bell. If you're on the YouTube app, the hype button helps a bunch. Follow Steph on Twitter at Steph49K. Follow me on Twitter at JasonAponte2103. Steph, it's good to have you back. It's good to be talking football, man. And it's good to know that, like, it's all right there in front of us now. And all we have to do is just focus on the content that is going to be created by the NFL. I'm so excited, man. So, for Steph, for Jay, we're out of here.
Peace.